On the line now I have Brendan Price from the Irish Seal Sanctuary. Good afternoon, Brendan. How are you?
Great to hear you again. I'm very well.
It's been a long time since I've talked to you. Very, very busy man. Just, I mean...
And we've lots to talk about.
Yeah. Has it gotten any better for you?
Things have changed for the Seal Sanctuary. You know, in one way, it's a measure of our success that we've been taken over and, you know, surpassed by commercial outlets. You know, we're still doing the few seals. It's still our core business. I have a little seal here with one eye at the minute, it's just feeding. You know, the Coast Guard, the guards, people like that still get in touch with us. But most of them go to Wexford these days. You know, we built Wexford. We built the pools there, and unfortunately, you know, former partners and the landlord went off in their own direction, but sure, that's the way it goes. Yeah.
Any improvement in relationship with the government and funding or anything?
Yeah. Like, you know, all very well, as you probably remember, or certainly some of your listeners might remember, there were allegations made against me. I was actually arrested and interrogated for a day. No, there was absolutely no substance to them. I had kept the court town going at my own expense with my own savings, and that was very clearly obvious to the Gardaí, who were only doing their job very quickly. So, you know, these things did their damage, though. You know, there was smoke talk and gossip, and so it set the Seal Sanctuary back a number of years. But like I say, we've reinvented ourselves. We've cleared everything. We're in full compliance with revenue. You know, the troublemakers, for want of a better word, have all departed. Very quickly, actually. No, I didn't even stop to say goodbye. so we're, you know, our job is still to do the job, even if we're not doing as many seals as we used to, and they're going elsewhere. The facilities are there. The country has the capacity. People around the country know what to do. The networks are there, and we built all that up, and we're very proud of that. And you know, our volunteers work with whoever can provide the pools at the moment, which happens to be Wexford, and that's the way it goes.
And the public. So, I must say, over the years, when I talked to you in the early years, really up to, you know, 15, 20 years ago, the public were a great asset. Yeah, the public were always, though I've talked to the Seal Sanctuary many times over the years with different people, the public were a great asset to you, as what they are volunteers in all aspects of life, but especially to the Seal Sanctuary, which was a little bit unusual at the time, but they took it on board.
Oh, yeah, and you're quite right. And, like, I was at volunteer award ceremonies there last night, and actually a very good Coast Guard man from Holt won one of them in this area. Bet my wife, actually, she was up for one. She was shortlisted in the last 32. But, yeah, the message we would put out, like, seeing all those wonderful volunteers last night, different organisations, the volunteers were, as you correctly say, the absolute bedrock and strength of the Irish Seal Sanctuary. Your listeners, your Anne North, God rest her, used to come to seal releases with us regularly and do pieces. We would have been nothing at all, without them. And that was their strength, their integrity. You know, it was the support of the public. It was, you know, the voluntary ethos. That's what made it strong and made it viable. And the commercial outfits may succeed, they may not. Nobody'd wish them any harm. But the fail-safe, the safety net will always be there now, which wasn't there in those days, as you know, purely by virtue of the fact nobody knew where to go or what to do when you found a seal. Like, if you found a stray kitten, you knew what to do, or a bird fell out of a nest, you had an idea, but seals popping up on your doorstep was another matter, you know.
Yeah,
so I think we changed all that, you know, and we're very proud of it, and we're very proud of the volunteers who made it possible.
And the great thing is that on celluloid now, you can get the history of it. Actually, this year, 100 years, jumping back to 1914, when things were pretty impermanent at that time, setting up sanctuary for seals. And there's a special screening in the IFI next Wednesday. It's actually on Saturday, December the 13th, but then the following Wednesday, on the 17th at 11 o'clock. Tell me about the movie and how it came about, and it's called Lanugo.
That's right, and it was a very, very interesting journey for me to make, I must say, with, you know, in my time of down tools and forced retirement or exile. You know, it was an opportunity to look at a lot of things, and a volunteer, former volunteer from DCU, actually, came back to us and you know, had become an established filmmaker, Dave Kavanagh, and he made the film with us. And a very generous volunteer too, provided us with a bit of petrol money and overnights to travel the country and meet people whose lives crossed over with SEALs, who were either working with them or SEALs were impacting on them or vice versa. So we chatted to lots of very, very interesting people who'd normally not be brought together. You know, fishmongers, folklorists, fish scientists, fisheries managers, fisheries people themselves, you know, lawyers, museum curators. It's a fascinating gathering, a harvesting of voices, I'd call it. And what they're looking at is two things. One, as you say, it is 100 years since the first piece of legislation ever to protect wildlife was passed. Mm-hmm. Women didn't even have the vote in those days. It was a different time, but it was a period of enlightenment. And, you know, thankfully the women got the vote fairly soon afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, but this piece of legislation was the Protection of Grey Seal Act. And it was pushed by a British Army major who was a sportsman and a big game hunter. Like I say, different days. But he saw the fragility of the species, and he saw species, including exotic birds and things. Feathers were, you know, in big demand for women's fashions in those days, and a lot of bird populations were also endangered. So himself and others like him, Hemingway later, Teddy Roosevelt on the other side of the Atlantic, they were pushing the wilderness and the national parks. And all these guys, you know, had some kind of a notion 100 years ago that nature was in trouble. So they pushed this. And so we're highlighting it and honouring it. And the first driver, like people are familiar with the, you know, the icons of the World Wildlife Fund and things like the panda and that.
Yes,
the
yeah.
real driver of modern conservation was the great grey seal. Our own species that's here in Dublin Bay, around the Hill of Howth, all around our country. And the first known archaeological remains of it were in Dalkey Island. And those seals used to, you know, fish Dublin Bay thousands of years ago. And the Lord Mayor is opening it because, again, something Dubliners can be very proud of, their part in this. From about 1913, the Bull Island was recognised as a wilderness requiring protection. The seals have stuck with the bay and stuck with the Bull Island. And Pat Carrigan out there has been a champion. He did our you know, with the public, we did our first ever seal release outside of Skerries, where we started, on the Bull Island. And he was the first wildlife ranger in the country to facilitate that. So Dublin and your listeners and volunteers and supporters, again, to, you know, go back to that, have made this all possible. And we have 300-odd seats. We only need a few of them reserved for, you know, the Lord Mayor and his entourage and a couple of people maybe that are from RTE and that might be interested in commissioning the film or filmmakers and that. So we want people to come along and share it, or free of charge, come along and have a great time. We couldn't afford the matinees or the night performances, so they are morning performances.
11 o'clock, yeah.
On those 2 days, the 13th and the 17th, the only thing we'd ask people actually is just, you know, email us or phone us just to let us know your name and how many, so we're not disappointing people at the
just
moment.
For numbers, yeah, to keep it.
Yeah.
Just incidentally, Brendan, the seals and the reason the law was brought in and that, I mean, what was the reason? Were the seals being killed just for sport? Or was there a monetary benefactor? Like, I'm trying to think of one. Was it?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, there were commercial reasons. You know, there were actually, that was the interesting thing. Yeah, and thanks for pulling me on that, because I forgot to say, the funny thing was 100 years ago, you had all the same arguments and debates that go on today. You know, seals need culling. There's too many of them. They're eating all our fish. Other people saying, oh, we have to protect them. They're wildlife, they're endangered, they're predators at the top of a food chain. The food supply controls them, not the other way around.
Yes, yeah.
And these arguments went on in those days too. And yeah, they were being hunted and culled. In the days pre-fossil fuels, like we depended on things like whale oil and seal oil and fish oil. But again, times have changed, you know. And what I found was how ill-informed and ignorant I was in doing this research about so many things and so many other people that thought the same thoughts and faced the same problems as you and I and your listeners do today about conservation. And one thing we do know is 100 years later, according to the latest biodiversity report, global report, nature has never been under such pressure or strain. There are many, many more species endangered. Many of them relate to the survival of our own life support systems, you know, pristine rivers, clean water, clean air, you know, forests and fuel, oxygen, all very important for us.
Well, of course, it's to do with the environment which the animals or any sort of wildlife is not responsible for. That's the human race that's doing all the damage. So
yeah, and they are the indicators. They're the canary in the mine. Like, if they're disappearing, there's something going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So they faced all those questions 100 years ago. And now today, we still don't have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have the answers, but that's why we're saying, come along to the film. This film's going to travel, hopefully, the world. But come along to it and engage in it and help us find the solutions, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and congratulations to yourself and all the volunteers, indeed, over the many, many years which you did and which you continue to do. And I've always been a great supporter of the Seal Sanctuary myself. So I remember a few run-ins you had with Bertie over the years as well.
with some good ones, too.
You survived all that. You survived all that, Brendan. Congratulations. Yeah. But the film is on the 13th, which is on the Saturday, 11 o'clock, and then on the Wednesday. And I didn't know it was free, but now
in the morning,
do,
by the way.
In the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning. So people are welcome to come along free, just if they can email you and let you know, so that just to control the numbers, as you say, it's quite small, maybe 300 the cinemas hold there.
That's right.
In the IFI. Listen, Brendan, a pleasure talking to you, and continue.
And we're booking you in. We'll see you there.
I'll see you there. Thanks very much.
You'll probably see
me on the Wednesday.
Right.
Okay. Thanks very much. Thanks, Brendan.
Lots of interesting people to talk to then too.
I will indeed. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you then. Bye, Brendan. Bye.